test number 45. So 45, 46, table number 48. 45, 46, 47. Salary numbers, then we come to 48.
एषा तमानुजा बाला कृपणा पुत्रिकोपमा हन्तुं नार्हसि कल्याणी मां त्वं दीनवत्सलः.
Has your younger sister, this poor girl Devaki, is like your own daughter and deserves to be affectionately maintained. You are merciful and therefore you should not kill her. Indeed, she deserves your affection. Text 46.
Shri Shuka Uvacha Evam Evam Samadhir Vedai Bodhyam Bodhyamano Tidharna Nanjavastata Kauravya Purushadana Dana Nautrata.
Shivadi Goswami continues. Oh, best of the Kuru dynasty, Kamsa. Oh, best of the Kuru dynasty, Kamsa was fiercely cruel and was actually a follower of the Rakshasas. Therefore, he could be neither pacified nor terrified by the good instructions given by Vasudeva. He did not care about the results of sinful activities, either in this life or in the next.
Nirbandham tasyatam yatva vichintyana tadunduvihi kaatam karam prativyodham inam tatra papadyatam.
When Vasudeva saw that Kamsa was determined to kill his sister Devaki, he thought to himself very deeply. Considering the imminent danger of death, he thought of another plan to stop Kamsa. There is a brief purport here. Purport by Divine Grace's influence on Big Bang. Although Vasudeva saw the imminent danger that his wife Devaki would be killed, he was convinced of his welfare because at his birth, the demigods had played drums and kettle drums. He therefore attempted another way to save Devaki. This is today's verse, text number 48. Correct?
Mrityor buddhya pohyo
yavat buddhi
valodayam
yadyasauna nivarteta
napadadosti dehinah mrityor buddhi mata pohyo balodayam
yavat buddhi balodayam
yadyasauna nivarteta napadadosti dehinah
napadadosti dehinah
mrityor buddhi mata pohyo yavat buddhi balodayam
yavat buddhi balodayam
yadyasauna nivarteta napadadosti dehinah
napadadosti dehinah.
And purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. As long as he has intelligence and bodily strength, an intelligent person must try to avoid death. This is the duty of every embodied person. But if death cannot be avoided, in spite of one's endeavors, a person facing death commits no offense. Purport. It is natural for a person facing untimely death to try his best to save himself. This is one's duty. Although death is sure, everyone should try to avoid it and not meet death without opposition. Because every living soul is by nature eternal. Because this is a punishment imposed in the condemned life of material existence, the very culture is based on avoiding death. Chakvaregam punarjanma naiti. Everyone should try to avoid death and rebirth by cultivating spiritual life and should not submit to death without struggling to survive. One who is not trying to stop death is not an intelligent human being. Because Devaki was face to face with imminent death, it was Vasudeva's duty to save her, as he was trying his best to do. He therefore considered another way to approach Kamsa, so that Devaki would be saved. As long as he has intelligence and bodily strength, an intelligent person must try to avoid death. This is the duty of every embodied person. But if death cannot be avoided in spite of one's endeavors, the person facing death commits no offense. Often we hear something just opposite to what we were reading now. While the Shastras condemn the conditioned souls who are always afraid of death. Conditioned souls are always trying to protect themselves. So, in so many other purports we have read that people are foolishly attached to their bodies and they want to avoid death. And this foolishness, no matter how much you try, you can never avoid death. Such things. But here, what do you hear? Here, just the opposite. It says here, as long as we have bodily strength and intelligence, a person should try to avoid death. So the Shastric instructions have to be understood properly. At different places, Shastras say different things, and one should learn to properly understand them in a proper spirit. Then we will be able to appreciate why they say sometimes apparently contradicting statements. It is said that the human body is awarded for a very special purpose. Very, very valuable. It is given only for self-realization and not for any other purpose. So one should not allow such a body to be misused, owing to one's carelessness or foolhardiness or mode of ignorance. One should certainly take care of the body, like it is said, Shariram Kaladharma Sadhanam. It is said this body is meant for performing dharma. So preserving this body, protecting this body nicely, taking care of it, is not considered bad. One should take care of this body, keep it hale and healthy, and prevent death coming at an unexpected time. One should try to protect one's body. Like I was telling, one should protect the body because one should not be careless in using this body. When I was a young schoolboy, we used to go for cycle races. So I had a team of 4 or 5 people and we used to go for cycle races. So we used to drive very fast, extremely fast. If the bus would reach a destination in 40 minutes, we would reach in 20 minutes. So once my father got a report from one of his friends that when your son drives, you know, it is so fearful. It appears any time, you know, any serious accident may happen and he will die. So he reported to him, and then my father once caught me and asked me, and I totally denied. I said, no, who told you? Tell me who's the person. And later another day he tricked me by, you know, he went by another bus and he was somewhere midway, standing in a bus stop, waiting to see how I drive, you know. So that day actually we, four of us, we were racing also. Racing the cycle and now lifted both arms. Singing some cinema song, Joy from Singapore, Kalaku, Malaysia. We were singing some song. So we were driving like that, and that person was standing right there. And he asked if he was a traffic policeman, he came and stopped. Immediately. I was really caught, red-handed. So when he got out of the cycle, he had a mirror, he showed me, look at your face. Face was so reddish because of driving fast. He said, you are so mad. In fact, I thought my friend is exaggerating, now I have got to see myself. You are driving like mad. Chasing the buses, chasing the lorries. Anytime, any accident will happen. So he said, now I am going to ban you from driving the cycle. For several months in a row after that, he banned me from driving after that. So, this kind of carelessness in driving, especially when we are youthful, we have a lot of vigor in the body. And we think, you know, why these old people are afraid? Because they are old, they are afraid. And we are young, we have a lot of strength in our body. We think nothing will happen. Same way you find sometimes boys who drive bike. You know, they take a bike and sometimes they put their friend behind him. And they drive very fast. Very fast. So they want to show all their girlfriends how, you know, fast they drive. Sometimes in the course of driving so fast they go under a lorry. And they die. So many of them die. Nowadays, youth dying in bikes is very, very common. Especially in cities. You find, because they're driving mad. Sometimes you see people driving so fast by another person. So it is not at all appreciated that one be careless in preserving the body. Like that day when my father captured me, when he came home, he gave me such a solid chastisement. I didn't speak a word, but he wanted a reason. After a long time, he found that I'm keeping mum. He said, no, you have to say something. Why did you do like this? Then I gave a justification. I said, everyone has to die one day. Then he said, this is nonsense. See, you may say everyone has to die one day. That doesn't mean you have to go into the mouth of death. Just like sometimes in circus, people put their head into lion's mouth. You seen that? Anytime the lion can close the mouth. So why should you unnecessarily invite death like that? That is not appreciated at all. That's why he is saying, one should try his best to avoid death. We have to try our best to preserve the body. Like here in Pune, right here, some time ago, one devotee was taking me in a scooter. So whenever signal would come, he would have a long drive to stop the vehicle. I asked why. He said, only brake is not there, sir. I asked, without brake you are driving vehicle and you are taking me also? Both of us going to Amara support together. So you want a company to go to Amara. So this is carelessness. And driving madly is foolhardiness. Like, you know, we all want some adventure in life. No. Adventure. Something adventurous. So we think, you know, if I drive a bike very fast. Some people take, no, like this you're saying, they go like this and everyone is like stand, you know, seeing them. And they think we are very great. People do like that. Like, you know, nowadays in the aeroplanes, people who fly, there is a kind of game. They go in the aeroplane and then somebody pushes them off from the aeroplane. Of course, along with the parachute also, but parachute will not open for some time. So they have to hold something like that on their head like this. And they come down, practically dashing to the ground like that, very fast. And at one point of time, parachute opens. So, and then it opens and then they will land very safely. But for some distance, they will be just falling off the plane. And this will be witnessed by thousands of people. So that is how kind of thrill people have. What if parachute doesn't open? Can you imagine? Your body is just like a vegetable. That comes and hits on the ground, it will break into pieces like a bowla. Can you imagine? Crazy. So this is actually foolhardiness. You know this Sanjay Gandhi? Sanjay Gandhi was going in a fighter aircraft. He had an individual plane. What do they call it? They have some name for that. Single. Huh? It wasn't a helicopter, it was a plane. So when he was going over the Ashoka Hotel, so he wanted to dive and learn diving on plane. So he go like this and then take one dive and then you fly like that. So he was just playfully diving. He was a very great expert in driving, so he was diving. So once when he made such a dive, then the plane, you know, came crashing to the ground, and he was also crashed along with that. So this foolhardiness. So there is a difference between adventure and foolhardiness. If our adventure involves losing life, then it is foolhardiness. It's foolishness, total foolishness. One cannot afford to lose a valuable human body like this, playing games with dangerous machines like that. Whether it be a bike, or whether it be a car, whether it be an aeroplane, anything of that kind. So, some people lose their body because of such foolhardiness. And some may lose their life because of mortal ignorance, foolishness. Once some disciple came to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, did you hear the news? In the same town, there were two huge rocks, vertical rocks, huge mountains. And one fellow was jumping from one end to another mountain, one mountain and another mountain. And there was a gap in between, something like 6 feet or something, like long jump. So he would jump from this mountain to that mountain to this mountain. And seeing this, there were thousands and thousands of people were watching this. And when this devotee came to Prabhupada, he saw the man of Prabhupada. And if he slips out from there, he will come down. It's like very deep valley. There's nothing there. He will be smashed to pieces. Like that. And Prabhupada heard it, he was very angry. He said, "What nonsense is this? Jumping from one mountain to another mountain. What of ignorance? Foolishness." And then Prabhupada said that, why this fellow is, risking his life like this, jumping from one mountain to another mountain. Anytime he may lose his body, the body which is awarded for centralization. So Prabhupada didn't appreciate that. Although people considered it a very great adventure, Prabhupada didn't appreciate that at all. So, in ignorance, sometimes people lay down their life. And sometimes you find a boy and a girl, they fell in love with one another and they would not marry. So they decide, "Come, let's both go and lie down in the railway line." And the train goes over there. So just imagine, it has happened. It's not a concocted thing. You see such things happening. Or jumping off from a suicide rock. People do like that in Ooty. Places like that. Because they don't know what is life. They just don't know what is this human body or what is this soul, body, God. They don't know anything. They just misuse the human body. So they will become ghosts in the next life. Those who commit suicide like this. And they have to suffer a lot in the ghostly body before they are awarded the human body. Because the nature awards the human body, and when the human body is misused, then the nature will withdraw it for some time. It will not give human body. Until a person becomes sufficiently knowledgeable to use the human body properly. So, many boys and girls in the modern times attempt to commit suicide. Not knowing the soul. Not knowing what is the meaning of life, purpose of life. The soul is so joyful in rendering service to the Lord because of having forgotten that now he voluntarily accepts death. Can you imagine? Repeatedly. You see, the soul is right now given an engagement which is constantly decaying. This body which we have is constantly decaying. Every moment, every day. Like every morning you wake up, there is nasty smell coming from the mouth. Nasty secretions from all different parts of the body. So this body is a decaying body actually. So it's a great humiliation upon the soul that the soul is entrapped in a body like this. Very unfortunate. But still, the very same body is needed for the performance of dharma. One cannot say, "I hate this body, it's so bad, let me just commit suicide." That's not the solution to get rid of the body. So that is a prescription given in the scriptures, how one can get rid of this body that is following us like a shadow, birth after birth. You get one body, and then by the time that body gets old, invalid, and dies, then the next body comes, the third body, fourth body, fifth body. Cycle of birth and death continues. So as an individual soul, you have to know how to wisely get rid of this body. So while residing in this body, one cleanses the body like every day. Somebody says, this is how God created me, I won't take bath. This is the kind of body God has created. Can you say like that? You have to take care of the body by cleaning the body. When there is sickness, we administer medicine. Similarly, one does not commit suicide when, even when one is very frustrated. Sometimes people feel, oh, life is a boredom. That is boring. Again and again you have to, eat food, clear the stomach, and take bath, you have to wear a dress every day. It's just boring. Life doesn't appear to be having any meaning. Of course, that's what it seems to be for them, because they just don't know about God. They don't know God is actually a reservoir of all bliss. They don't know that. Nor have they studied any scriptures. So there are many youngsters in the modern times who get bored with life and they want to try something that will bring forth happiness. Sometimes they take intoxicants. They think intoxicants give a lot of kick. Actually, what happens with intoxicants is it puts you in a state of, in an altered state, where you don't know what you are doing. Like you see this picture, one advertisement shows somebody sitting in a sofa and after he takes that intoxicant, he is flying, some 2 feet above the ground level, like a ghost. So you see that because they feel an altered consciousness, like as if elevated. It's not elevation. It's a degradation, actually. It gives you a sense of elevation. And then it again pulls you down like that. So when one takes intoxication, which is in mode of ignorance, then one will also end up doing any kind of nonsensical thing. Like, even as devotees, it's very important that we never turn back to our old ways of living. Like, when we are in good association, it is possible for us to lead a pure life. But when we are not in good association, again we will turn back to bad association. Some of the bad habits which we were doing a few years ago, again they may repeat. And that happened to some devotees in ISKCON also. Like there was a devotee called Jai Tirtha Prabhu. So he was into drug addiction and things like that. And later on he gave it up and he became a proper devotee. He was selling this agarbattis, and it became a top hit thing in ISKCON, in Prabhupada's fans. Very, very famous. Selling paraphernalia and selling agarbattis. But later again he got back to drugs, taking to drugs, because of getting back to the old habits. Once he was into drug, and there was another devotee also was into drugs. These were actually so-called devotees, who were externally like a devotee, but they had got back into the old habits again. So when one is in drag, one does not know what one is doing. One is totally blinded. So the other fellow, he took a chopper kind of thing, some kind of sword, and he discated his head. He decapitated his head, cut off his head. Yeah, head fell off. And both of them were in ignorance. This fellow was drunk and that fellow was drunk. Both had taken drugs. So he died also in ignorance, like that. So you can see this, very unfortunate. That is why one should never misuse the human form of life. You see, we think sometimes that now we have become devotees, we are infallible. Nothing will happen to us. We become very proud. But the power of Maya in this world is extremely great. Like Krishna manifests as Maya. He says, no, mama maya durateya. It's another potential of Krishna. So one is careless in devotional service, then one will again get back to old habits. And getting back to old habits can lead one even up to the point of death, as we saw in this case. It's simply mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance, absorbed in drugs and killing one another. When people are into drugs, sometimes they slap one another, beat one another, sometimes they stab one another, and they die. So this fellow was given an opportunity to become a devotee, but he again lost it. Like that. So, one should not die in mode of ignorance like this. Some people die due to excessive drinking or illicit sex. Like one who is very hale and healthy, very young in body, then he indulges in illicit sex and then he gets AIDS, then he can't survive even 2 years also. No. He can't survive 2 years also. Just one, you know, common cold comes, finished. He will lose his immunity. He can't have the immunity even to tackle a common cold. When he's sneezing 2-3 times, he'll sneeze and he'll die. He has no power to sustain even a common cold. So, in this way, sometimes degrading ourselves to bad habits can lead up to the point of death. So somebody may say, life is boring, let me try these things, but then they may lead themselves to death, like that. I was talking about carelessness, one example comes to my mind. The passing away of His Holiness Kamala Krishna Goswami Maharaj. Actually, Kamala Krishna Maharaj, when I was there in Mayapur, the same day, the next day, the event happened in the morning. When I reached there, it was the evening I reached. So many of the ISKCON gurus were speaking. So as you all know, what happened was in the early morning, he had to go for the airport in Calcutta. So he had mentioned that I want the same driver who drove me yesterday, the brown color sumo. He wanted the same driver because he saw that this fellow is very, very intelligent in driving. He is very good in driving, he is tackling and he is pretty fast also. And he wanted him. But that fellow was pretty, very, very tired. He was extremely tired. He was not fit for driving, but devotees didn't tell him. Because he desired to have that driver, then they told him, okay, we will give that driver. And the previous day, Maharaj was doing kirtans, absorbed in hours and hours and hours, several hours of kirtans. He himself was leading and all his godmothers were singing. And when he went to his room in the night, he was packing up, some of his intimate disciples came. And he told them that now I am winding up. I am now winding up and I am returning back to Krishna. Something to that effect he said. And they were all wondering, what is he saying? And he was actually sorting out things. He said, he had even given a complete detail about how his samadhi should be made, where it should be made, what should be the size, and everything, and what about his different projects. He was allotting all of that to people, and disciples were a little confused why he is saying all this. So he had a premonition of going to leave the world. The next day morning, early morning, they had to leave by 5 o'clock or something, and then at 7 o'clock reach Calcutta and take up a flight. So morning he packed up and he sat in the sumo. The driver came, somehow or other, he didn't have a good sleep, but he came. And he was driving when they were going almost close to Fulia Gram, where Haridas Thakur chanted. Very close to that place, the driver lost his control. He was driving, but then he dozed off. So I saw that road, it's like a road. Both sides there is valley kind of thing and the tree. Not a very deep valley, but still the car just went off the road and hit a tree. So half of the sumo was like damaged. Hit the tree. And Maharaj was sitting in the front. And some disciples were sitting in the back. And two disciples were hurt. And Maharaj also got terribly hurt in that event. And immediately they got the news. And I got the news also. Here I flew to Calcutta. I flew to Mayapur. I had great fondness for this Maharaj because of his servant book. So later on, His Holiness Radhanath Swami was telling, when I met him and I asked him what is his realization and all. So he was telling, such a valuable asset of our society we have lost. He said, this is historical, he said. This personality, he is like a father to the whole society. And he is next to Srila Prabhupada. He always lived with Prabhupada, associated very closely with Prabhupada. He knows the mind of Prabhupada and he has written so many books, he has given so many instructions and he knows the mood of Prabhupada. And he was doing his doctorate from which university? Abroad he was doing one. Ottawa, Canada is it? SMU. Yeah. Yeah. Methodist University, no? Yeah. So he was doing that and his idea was after his doctorate to smash all the Mayavadis and all kinds of people who are also holding degrees, big degrees. So to go at a very top level and preach, and it would have been a very great asset to our movement. our movement would have been in the top. Another 20 years it would have preached very nicely. So Rajasamya Sahin is a very big loss to our society. He said, personally myself and many of my godbrothers, we are feeling that we are lacking a very great support from the top. When Prabhupada left the world, we felt this person is there next. And anytime you want to ask anything, any doubt, you can always call him and talk to him. So we have lost a very, very great soul, you are saying. So now from one viewpoint, we can say that, you know, Maharaj knew that he is leaving the world. Actually, many, many people got bewildered when they heard this incident. But great personalities like Bhaktacharya Swami and Jainanaspa, who I have explained, that Krishna's ways are inconceivable. Why Krishna does anything to anybody? It cannot be understood by our tiny minds. But for us, death is a very serious thing. For Krishna, death is like giving a small pinch to someone. Like sometimes, if a devotee has to, devotee has finished everything in the world and he has the last, trace of impurity to be cleared. So sometimes you see devotees towards the end, they get cancer. Some devotees get tuberculosis. Some devotees are bedridden, suffering at the time of death. When we see that, we get bewildered. But it is Krishna's way of finishing off their karma by giving them an intense dose of pain towards the end of their life, and then Krishna will pick them up and embrace them and take them back to Godhead. So he will do that. So Krishna knows what is to be done for each and every one of us. So Krishna took Maharaj in a particular way which is quite inconceivable for an immature mind. But he knew, he had the premonition that I am going to live and everything. So it's a divine arrangement, it is not unplanned. Why did he want only that driver? It was very, very well planned, Krishna knew that. But at the same time, we also have another lesson to learn. The lesson we are talking here, that we should not be careless. Like if you haven't slept well, we should not drive a vehicle. One of the devotees from Pune was driving the sumo from Pune to Bombay. So he hadn't slept well. He was very, very tired. Fortunately, in the outskirts of Bombay when he was going, when he was driving, he dozed a few seconds only. And the right tire of the sumo, it went into wedge in the ground. Like there was it was quite deep. It was almost 1.5 feet down. Just went into that. The whole vehicle shook. Fortunately, nobody died in there. There was a little small accident. So we have to be very, very careful. When we are not slept properly, another devotee also, he broke his collarbone. By driving the vehicle, he dozed off. He later on told me, I dozed off. I was driving the vehicle while I was in the middle of the road. I dozed like this. See, the problem is many devotees, they don't get proper rest. And Rana Swami was telling that time that so many devotees, our movement has lost in accident. People have died because they don't sleep well in the night. They go late night and in the morning they try to drive the vehicle and they die. It's a carelessness. Carelessness in driving. Also carelessness in driving. Like, when there is 5 minutes for the train, we try to rush from here, isn't it? I put all the bags inside, rush, rush, rush. And we speed up the driver, come on, go fast. And then, instead of reaching the other side, we may never reach at all. So it's very dangerous. That's why this kind of fast driving or sleepy driving, careless driving, it's not at all appreciated for the world. So we have to try to preserve our body. We should not be foolish saying, after all, one day we have to die. This is real foolishness. This is not words of wisdom. It's words from mode of ignorance. That one tries to justify one's wrong act. So that's why he's saying here that as long as we intelligence and bodily strength, we should try to avoid death. Now we were giving examples for how one may die unfortunately by various means, carelessness, foolhardiness, mode of ignorance. But there are some deaths which are considered glorious. Even if one is marching towards death. For example, in an army, Kshatriya may show the chest. And he knows that anytime the death will come. When one is fighting in the battlefield, anytime death will come. At the least expected moment, some bomb will come and fall on the head and finished immediately. And that's considered courageous. It's not bad. In fact, Shastras glorify one who dies in a battle. Because that is dharma of a Kshatriya. Also, sometimes there may be unforeseen accidents which are beyond our control. What can be done? Like when I was studying in BE, I was in third year. One day, I was living in a village. Our college was in a village. So, there is a riverside. Just before the riverside, there was an empty ground. So, one day, when I just came out of the room, I heard a big sound. Big sound. Then everyone came out of their rooms and saw one plane came crashing to the ground. It was a fighter aircraft. Came dashing to the ground. And then when we reached the spot, we ran to see what happened. It had totally broken to pieces, smithereens. All over it had spread out everywhere, different parts. And we went near to see the person, the pilot who was driving. He was some, just like we have Lieutenant Colonel and all, we have got somebody, a big officer who was driving it. And his body had torn into pieces, particularly. In every different machine part of the body, little pieces of flesh were hanging. We saw, you know, one portion only, one ear was there. Another was only nose, you know, and one eye was there one place. All totally split to pieces. Horrible sight. But we can't blame him for inviting death. Sometimes you find death is beyond our control. Even sometimes the engine is failing in a plane. What can one do? Like one devotee was, you know, nowadays in the airport the plane lands, people clap hands, you know that? But safely the plane has come. Like that, yeah. Yeah, because you can't, like, you know, 24 hours travel, plane has safely, you know, passed through and it's landing down. So once a devotee, when he was going in a plane like this, then they had an announcement that out of some five engines, one engine has failed. And then they asked, what does it mean? One engine has failed. Then the announcement came, others are also likely to fail. So what can one do if engine is failing? If all engines fail, it will come crashing to the ground. So this devotee was telling later on, some of the other engines didn't fail. Some of the plane landed very safely. This devotee was saying, when I was up, right next to him, there was a yoga teacher sitting. And he heard the news. So this devotee asked the yoga teacher, so what are you going to do? Are you going to do some asanas? That's me. So this devotee had no fear. He told that person, better now you chant Hare Krishna. Because then your life is at threat and you can't do yogasanas. Yeah. So this devotee said, he intensely thought of Krishna. He understood, now I am finished now. Now the plane is going to, you know, crash. He assumed that. And he took his bidwa and started chanting. And after seeing him, after he preached a little bit, then all of them started chanting all around him, everyone. Some of the plane didn't crash and it landed safely. So, when like this army officer I was telling, I mean this Air Force officer who died, he cannot be blamed because his dharma is like that. He is working for Air Force and is flying up in the sky and the plane may fail and is crashing to the ground. And either this would happen like this or it would happen even in the fight when he is going for a fight with other countries. Somebody may shoot the plane and he may die. And it is a part of the dharma. They have to bear that. They can't do anything. Similarly, I was telling about Kshatriya, but also the capital punishment which is offered by the king. See, the Vedas are so broad-minded. On one hand, the Vedas are saying you should try to protect your body. You should not destroy it. Why? Because the body is meant for human body is meant for civilization. But the very same Vedas are advocating capital punishment for a murderer. Is it not paradoxical? How can the Vedas who say that don't kill the body, protect it, it's a human body, valuables, but the Vedas are discussing capital punishment for the human being only, not for an animal. So the capital punishment is for those, capital punishment means death sentence. It is for those who did not behave like human beings. They are not living the life of a human being at all. They have been instrumental in murdering someone. So the Vedas prescribe that let this person be killed in the public. Let him be hung in front of everyone to see. Thousands of people will be watching him, you know, marching towards the stage. The last hanging thing I heard was Bhutto, you know. Bhutto was hanged. You know. But I don't hear nowadays there is a lot of hanging punishments are all called up. And they are trying to, in the name of mercy, can aspire the lives of people and send them to Andaman or somewhere. They say, you know, capital punishment is too cruel. But the Shastras don't consider them cruel. Shastras say that when you give capital punishment to a murderer, it is exactly like a doctor performing a surgical operation for a person having a boil. Like somebody is having a boil, big boil, painful. So doctor is performing surgery by taking the scalpel. He cuts off the boil. It's very painful. But that cutting off removes the pus, cleans the boil. Then a person becomes free from sickness. Similarly, Shastra say that when you give capital punishment, you kill a person who is a murderer. Shastra says it's wonderful. Because the king who gives that order, he will go to heaven, it is said. And even the person who dies like that in the capital punishment given by the king, he also goes to heaven. In the first kind of Bhagavad Gita, it is said. Like that. That means freed from all sins, he goes to heaven. But if somebody escapes such a death punishment, somehow he runs away, and then in the next lifetime he will get punishment along with interest also. For that. So he will get a very severe punishment. Nowadays so many people are escaping from death sentence. You see that. And they push somebody else who is Nirapradhi, the front. So this is considered proper death according to Shastra. Although Shastra say that one should preserve the human body, still the very same Shastra say such a human being should be killed. He deserves to be killed. And that is a punishment. So he becomes purified. And next life he will get a proper human body where he will not commit this sin. So he has already suffered for it in the previous life. Here we find Vasudeva is trying to save Devaki here. A question arises in our mind. Is he trying to save Devaki because he is having material attachment to the newly wedded wife? Is he thinking that, now this is my new wife, now we both are supposed to enjoy life, and you know, somebody is coming and taking away my sense gratification? Certainly not, because a personality like Vasudev, he knows the Shastras very well. He knows when a person should be killed, when a person should not be killed. Human body should certainly be preserved. And Devaki should get an opportunity to live, because she is going to be the cause of the birth of Krishna in this world. So she is going to be instrumental in bringing the Lord to this world. Devaki and Vasudev, they are actually the parents of Krishna. So Vasudev knows the truth. And ultimately, Vasudev is going to obey Krishna, not obey Kamsa. Although he said, I will hand over all the children to you, he didn't hand over the eighth child. When the eighth child was born, Vasudev slipped out of the jail and took the child to Gokul, like that. So he wanted to protect the body of Devaki for two purposes. One is that a human body should not be killed. It is meant for self-realization. And Devaki as a human being also deserves to perfect her life by utilizing her human and because she is going to be instrumental in Krishna's service, Vasudev considered it important to protect her body, preserve her. So, if the basis for protecting the body is material attachment, then the Shastras verily condemn it. That's the verse in Bhagavatam, it says, Aho mahiyasi janto jivita shayata bhavan deva pavarjitam pindam adatte lhapalavat. This is spoken by Vidura. He's saying the word jivitasha is used. Jivitasha means desire for living. So desire for living is condemned in the Shastra. That we should not have desire to live. Why should you not have desire to live? The Shastra say, Aho mahiyasi janto. Just look at all the jantus, jivarashis of this world. How much they are eager for living. Like you catch a fly, it immediately tries to escape from your hands. Mosquito or a fly, isn't it? Or you clap your hands and all the birds fly away. This is jivitasha. Jivitasha means desire to live. Somewhat of that sustain oneself. Like once, Prabhupada was showing a snail. There was a snail passing from, one part of the road to other side. Prabhupada said, you can imagine, sometimes a big bullock cart is coming on the road. And the snail is coming like this. Now exactly if the wheels coming on the leaves and the same grasses, it will be chutney. It will just go over the body. But sometimes you find snail is crossing and then it slips out. You know, the wheel goes like this ahead. So in the middle of the road, because snail cannot even see a big wheel coming towards them. He's just slowly trying to move. You've seen how it moves, you've seen? It looks really a very bad sight. So Prabhupada showed it to one disciple, just look at the snail. And the disciple said, actually, one may think, why should this creature at all live, you know, carrying some big burden on the back? You know that, like, what do you call that? Oyster. What is that? Shell, yeah. Carrying a big shell on the back. You know, when he's walking, when he's going like that also, there will be a lion kind of thing, you know, some liquid kind of thing oozing out. So you may think, better die, you know. Horrible existence. Feel like that. But you go and ask him, my dear snail, would you like to die? He said, you die first. Yeah. He said, why do you ask me to die? Yeah. They cannot. Actually, snail is happy to live. That's a mysterious thing. This is a aho mahiyasi janto jivita shayata bhava. Every living thing wants to live. Everybody. See, somebody may say, it'll, how nice if I have a beautiful face, I'm very ugly now. So he says, you have ugly body, give it up. Next life you may get a beautiful body. If you say, will they give it up? Even the most ugliest of the person wants to live. Even people in the slum, they will beg for that food. 3 days they will fast without food. But nobody is ready to die in this world. Everyone wants to live. So here, Rudra is condemning this. Aho mahiyasi janto jivita shayata bhava. But he is telling Dhritarashtra, you are such an old man, why do you have a desire to live? He is asking. He is asking, Bhima apavarishita pinda madhate griha palavar. You are eating the pinda given by Bhima. The food that is put to you like a beggar, you are eating from his hands. Why do you live a life like that? Horrible existence, he is saying. So, the Shastras condemn our desire to live if it is for sense gratification. If our life is oriented towards sense gratification, then Shastras condemn it. Shastras say, better you die. Don't have a desire to live. So they say it's useless because you are not utilizing the human body for what is supposed to be used. And what is the use of your existence? Like the other verses in Bhagavatam, it say, Tarava kimna jivanti, patra kimna shushanti yuta, akadanti namedanti, kim grame pashuopare. So they say, even the trees are living. What is the use of your living? He's asking Shastras. Even the trees are living. Even the bellows of a blacksmith are breathing. Like your heart is breathing, you may be proud of it. But even bellows blacksmith's bellows, like, he does that, no? For creating fire. Even that's also breathing. So what is your breathing? Great. He's asking. Na kadanti na vedanti kim grame pashuo pare. You are proud of eating delicious foods. Even animals are eating. And you are proud of impregnating and producing children. Even the dogs, even grama means, even the village dogs are producing so many puppies. What is so great about you creating children? He's asking. A dog can produce 3 dozen children in 3 years. And you can't produce more than one or two. So what is so great about it? He's asking. What is the use of your existence? So Shastras are very heavy in condemning a person who is living for Agayurindriya Ramo Mogham Parthasa Jivati. Krishna also condemns in Bhagavad Gita. It's called, he's not Atma Ram. What Ram is? Indriya Ram. Indriya Ram is who is relishing in sense gratification. What is that verse? Agayurindriya Ramo Mogham Parthasa. Evam Pravartitam Chakram Nanuvartayati Hayaham Agayurindriya Ramo Moham Pathasa Jivati. He is saying, one who does not follow this chakram, what chakram? Anna Bhavanti Bhutani Padjanya Karna Sambhavaha Yajna Bhavati Parjanyo Yajna Karma Samadbhava. One who does not follow this cycle. That means every anna you eat, you should offer it to God first as a yajna and then eat. And also perform your duty towards Krishna. And then, by such yajna, the rains will come. By such rains, the anna will develop again. And then when anna develops, then we can again offer to Krishna and then eat like that. So one who does not follow this cycle, along with the prescribed duties of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, such a person is called as a Indriyarama. Indriyarama. So, Shastras say that such a person should not desire to live. His life is useless. Because his life is just like that of any other animal. like a dog or a cat. Okay. So then Shastra says that, you know, why do you live for such material attachment? What is the use of your human body? So in such a connection only we say that people are desirous of avoiding death. And that is foolishness, we say. In such a connection, because they are material attachment. You know. You just want to live. Like you see, there are so many people, if you see old people watching television, playing chess, or you know, going for fishing, talking about some socio-political schemes as purposes. So their life is actually useless. Simply they are just maintaining this old body, giving, you know, feeding so much of medicines. Every day they take two handfuls of medicines. Eat so much of medicine to survive in this body. Just eating and sleeping and eating medicine and, you know, somehow sustaining and pulling on. Dragging on their existence like that snail. You know. They are no better than that snail. Useless existence. No knowledge of God, no knowledge of soul, no knowledge of the blissful loving relationship with God, which is eternal, eternal property of the soul. No knowledge, simply living a life like a dumb animal, like an elephant or like a donkey or like a camel. Horrible existence. So such people, their endeavoring to live is condemned in the Shastra. Useless existence, good for nothing existence. So neither, in fact, when the rich Rishi spoke, he said this, Aho kashtam aho dainyam, parakkai kshanapangurai, yanno pakurya aswatai, what is it? Sajnyadi vigrahai. He's saying, Aho kashtam aho dainyam, he's talking about his body. Just look at this horrible body, he's saying. He's always decaying at every moment. If you don't become selfless in your life, if you don't live for the benefit of others, then your living is useless. That's what he said. Yanna upakurya aswarthe matya sagnyati vigrahai. This body is actually destined to die. It's a perishable body. And if I am trying to live as a swarthi, simply eating, sleeping and, you know, enhancing my own betterment, well-being of my body, then I am living a useless life. So, everyone in this world should live for the purpose of benefiting other people. Just like a tree gives shade to others, it gives fruits to others, flowers to others, it gives the firewood, and it becomes a shelter for so many birds and squirrels and ants and snakes and so many. Similarly, every one of us should become a shelter for others. Becoming like a king is considered a shelter for the praja. Similarly, every devotee should become a shelter for others. How can we become a shelter? By becoming a wonderful devotee and by becoming an inspiring example for others. Then others won't be hanging on your shoulder for shelter, but they will be spiritually, morally, emotionally hanging on you. Because they are getting their support from you. When they see that you are a wonderful example and they want to also become a good example like you, then they are getting that inspiration and support from you. So we can become a shelter like that. And we can also utilize our body, mind, words for preaching about Krishna consciousness. Otherwise our life, preserving our life is not much meaningful. Hare Krishna. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.